You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
More changes to Matt Nagy's coaching staff, as the Chicago Bears running backs will have a different voice leading them in 2021. This is Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm an analyst for Pro Football Focus, and I'm here to bring you your daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. You can follow me on Twitter, at CoxSports1. You can follow the podcast on Twitter, at Locked On Bears. You can like Locked On Bears on Facebook, and you can also join the Locked On Bears Facebook group. On the show today, we'll update you on the latest coaching staff changes, the departure of the Bears running backs coach and passing game coordinator, as well as maybe a few potential candidates to replace them, although it's impossibly hard to predict. Then we will continue our position by position grades for this Bears roster with those running backs. Good timing as we work our way through the roster. Mostly David Montgomery and then everyone else, but it gives us a little bit of a perspective on what the depth at that position was like this season and what the Bears have on this roster moving forward. It's starting to feel like a little bit of an exodus from Matt Nagy's coaching staff, and I don't want to overblow it. It's only been a few assistant coaches now up to this point, but it's assistant coaches leaving more so on their own fruition than Matt Nagy firing people to hold them accountable and get new coaches in the building. We already talked about, of course, defensive coordinator Chuck Pagano retiring, and then defensive line coach Jay Rogers leaving for an opportunity with the Los Angeles Chargers, expected to be the same role, defensive line coach on that team. And now we've got the Bears passing game coordinator Dave Ragone, as rumored, being hired officially as the offensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons under new head coach Arthur Smith. And he's bringing another Bears assistant coach with him. Bears running backs coach Charles London is headed to Atlanta to be their quarterbacks coach. Kind of an interesting transition there for him. He's coached running backs in the NFL for the last, I think, 7 or so years with the Bears and then the Houston Texans before that. He coached running backs in college. He played running back in college at Duke University. As far as I can tell, has never coached quarterbacks professionally as a position coach, but that's what Arthur Smith wants him to do in Atlanta with the Bears once quarterbacks coach, now passing game coordinator, turned Falcons offensive coordinator Dave Ragone. So interesting kind of switch around there, but still a lateral move in terms of the coaching hierarchy for Charles London. And that's what's interesting about both Jay Rogers and Charles London leaving, is that in the NFL now, if a team wants an assistant coach from another team, they have to, generally speaking, request permission to interview and hire them away if it is a lateral position, assistant coach to assistant coach, or offensive coordinator to offensive coordinator. If it's a promotion, they don't have to request permission, and a team cannot prevent them from taking that promotion-type move. But for a coach like Jay Rogers going from position coach to position coach and Charles London from position coach to position coach, either their contracts were up and they had the flexibility to leave if they wanted to or sign some sort of extension to stay in Chicago, and they chose to leave on their own fruition. That's what I'm guessing is the most likely scenario, or the Falcons and Chargers specifically requested these coaches and the Bears did not prevent them from leaving, which seems less likely given the desire to keep both of those position coaches around for having done some pretty quality work. We saw Charles London work with David Montgomery, even as the Bears didn't do a great job of sticking to the running game. But of course, before Montgomery, he helped Jordan Howard rush for, I believe, multiple 1,000-yard seasons under Charles London's purview. And then, you know, they drafted David Montgomery last year and have had 2 seasons of him developing, coming along, working in this backfield. And it was really the David Montgomery show this season, rushing for 1,000 yards, really becoming a big part of the identity of this offense, again, with Charles London calling the shots at the running back position. So some important shoes to fill there. And it's not like we have this short list of available running backs coach that we can just turn to and say, ah, here's who the Bears should replace him with. It's always hard to say, all right, here are the top candidates, when position coaches can kind of come from a lot of different places and can be promotions from other coaching roles. It's kind of a weird inner circle. But I think the name I put at the top of my list, who might be available, might not, is Deuce Staley, who is, I guess, still technically currently the Philadelphia Eagles running backs coach. And he's been the Eagles running backs coach through multiple regimes. And they just hired Nick Sirianni as their new head coach, coming over from the Colts, who had some familiarity in this Andy Reid tree working under Frank Reich with the Colts. So he may want to retain Deuce Staley as part of his coaching staff. But if Staley is leaving the Eagles, he should be the top of the list for Matt Nagy. They did coach together in Philadelphia when Nagy and Staley were both assistants slash coaching interns kind of around the same time. They likely have a pretty strong connection in that regard. The other name I would put pretty high on my list is Kyle Kasky, who is the running backs coach for the Detroit Lions. Same kind of situations. The Lions hire Dan Campbell, who is ridiculous up to this point. We'll have to go into that at some point on a later podcast, but to be determined if they hold over any of that Lions coaching staff. And a guy like Kasky, well-regarded in the NFL as a quality running backs coach, had spent a decent chunk of time with the Cincinnati Bengals, coaching up Jeremy Hill, Giovanni Bernard, and others, of course, under offensive coordinator Bill Lazor, who is the Bears' offensive coordinator. So some connections there for some well-regarded running backs coach that could be kept by their current teams or could be available to join the Bears. I don't know if the Bears will try and replace Dave Ragone as passing game coordinator. It was a little bit of an extra position, but I can't help but wonder if Doug Peterson might be interested after being fired by the Eagles. I mean, he might just want to sit out 2021 like a lot of fired head coaches will do. He would probably want more of a true offensive coordinator job. So, like, could you make Bill Lazor your passing game coordinator? It's kind of a demotion. I think it's a little bit unlikely there. Same with somebody like Marty Morningweg, who was the offensive coordinator for the Ravens. He was a guy that we had talked about as a OC candidate in Chicago before they decided on Bill Lazor. He had also coached for the Eagles, has been a part of this Andy Reid system, a veteran coach who could be a nice influence on this offense. So some different options there for both the running backs coach and passing game coordinator spots, but impossible to predict, and it's likely Matt Nagy will have some connection somewhere with some coach that we hadn't thought of or been able to make the connection to that will replace Charles London in that role for the Bears. It's definitely going to be an adjustment for David Montgomery, who just started to really seem like everything was coming together last season. We'll grade his performance through the abandoned running games and the poor offensive lines in front of him next on Locked On Bears. This episode is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful diamond ring that launched exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. Again, this exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launched on January 18th, and you can view it exclusively at BlueNile.com. I was looking in my pantry earlier today, and I think I might have a slight addiction to Built Bars and the other related products made by the same Built Bar company. As I counted it up, I've got a box of mixed flavors, just a variety pack of Built Bar flavors. I've got a box of caramel brownie. I've got a box of cookies and cream, a box of dark chocolate cookie dough. then a box of a limited edition pineapple Built Bites, a box of limited edition chocolate-covered marshmallow Built Puffs, and then I've got Built Boost and Built Go all in my cabin. It's maybe a slight problem, but they're so good, I can't get enough of them. There's a reason why we call them the best-tasting protein bars ever. At this point, I think I've had all 18 flavors. Each one absolutely delicious, covered in 100% chocolate, soft, easy to chew. They taste much more like candy bars than protein bars, but they still have 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, and only 4 grams of sugar. I spend my own money on these products. I'm telling you, you gotta try it for yourself. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. If you had told me halfway through last season that David Montgomery would finish as the NFL's fifth leading rusher, I would have told you you were crazy. Even at the Bears' bye week in week 11, I looked it up, David Montgomery had 472 yards. He ranked 21st in rushing yards among running backs. But of course, over that final stretch of the season, as the Bears' offense put it all together, we saw David Montgomery essentially gain 600 yards in 6 games, averaging about 100 yards a game over that stretch and finishing with 1,070 yards. Still, you know, half of what Derrick Henry had in first place, but his season was 500 yards ahead of second place with Dalvin Cook. So a little bit of a ridiculous standard there, but Montgomery finished tied with James Robinson of the Jacksonville Jaguars with 1,070 yards. And I think what's almost equally surprising for me, maybe more so surprising, not just that he was able to amass so many yards, because we knew he was capable of being a productive NFL running back. But what surprised me more is that he finished the season with the fourth most carries of any running back. Given just how little Matt Nagy would commit to the running game in the first half of the season, I was blown away that he still finished with that many carries. Because even, again, at that same bye week mark, right before the Bears really turned it on in terms of the running game, he was still 13th in the NFL in carries up to that point, 131, finished with 247. So it wasn't like the workload massively increased. But I think we overlook, or I guess I overlooked, maybe you didn't, overlooked how little running back depth the Bears had this season, how rarely it was that other ball carriers were getting more than just a few carries per game. Once Tariq Cohen went out, it was the David Montgomery show all season. So even if the Bears were only running the ball 12 times in a game, David Montgomery was getting like 10 of those. I mean, it was a lot of Montgomery getting the handoffs in the backfield, especially once Cordarrelle Patterson started battling injuries a little bit more. They were not giving very many handoffs to like of Ryan Nall and Artavis Pierce. We'll get to grading that group behind him on the depth chart. But in terms of Montgomery himself, you know, I want with these positional grades to kind of isolate them from the surrounding factors. So what was David Montgomery doing in spite of his offensive line, in spite of his play calling, in spite of everything else going around him as an individual running back, given what he was asked to do, how well did he perform? Because, of course, the running game wasn't having a lot of success when you had 3 undrafted rookie free agents or recent undrafted players all starting on the offensive line at brand new positions where I don't know any running back in the NFL was going to have a bunch of success behind that line. But then, of course, when the offensive line starts run blocking and just plowing through everybody against the Texans and Jaguars, I think a lot of running backs in the NFL could have had pretty successful performances in those games, and I don't know that Montgomery did exceptional things himself, separate from his blocking, to truly dominate in those performances. And that's what makes it a little bit hard for me to go too over the top in a grade here. So I find myself in the B, but more, I lean B-plus range for Montgomery. But I don't think this was an A season from the running back spot, because it never felt like David Montgomery truly took over a game and dominated. He had big rushing performances here and there. I mean, I think you look back, it was the Vikings game where he hit 146 yards, but it was also 32 carries, four and a half yards per carry. And there wasn't like the incredible big explosive runs over and over again. We saw some, you know, one early on against Green Bay. I think he did the same thing against Detroit. There were big plays, but it was never like four quarters of like the David Montgomery game. You know, we saw Dalvin Cook rip off a couple of 200-yard games. I think Derrick Henry did it as well. Like, that to me is what is an A-level running back performance this season, to not only be able to create yards for yourself when the offensive line isn't playing well, but then to truly take over and dominate a game and be your team's entire offense in a way that makes your mark and your presence felt. He came close a few times. He had some very impressive performances, but it was never like this all-encompassing, like, domination from David Montgomery. And that's what keeps me away from an A for him. I think he did a lot of things in those games where he had 50 yards, 30 yards, 60 yards. I don't think he gets enough credit for the work he did in one of those. I was looking over the Pro Football Focus missed tackles numbers for Montgomery. He finished in the top five among all running backs, but the game that he had the most missed tackles was actually against the Saints in week 8, not in the playoff game. In that game, he had 21 carries for 89 yards. Nothing too crazy, but he broke 8 tackles on those 21 carries. In his next closest game, he had a few with 5 missed tackles. But in that game, he was creating yards for himself. And those are the critical performances from Montgomery that can separate himself and find his own ways to have success, even when the offensive line and sometimes the play caller are not putting him in the position to do so. So very great season from Montgomery. I think exceeding expectations in some way. That to me is still in the B plus range, but a lot of encouragement about him moving forward and the Bears being able to rely on their running game with him at the helm. The big question is just the depth behind him and what the Bears will have there moving forward, because it was close to non-existent in 2020. Injuries played a role in that, but also felt like a conscious choice by this front office and coaching staff to not do more to add veteran or experienced or otherwise depth to that backfield. We'll go through what we did see from Tariq Cohen and company next on Locked On Bears. The playoffs and the Super Bowl are the most fun times to place wagers at betonline.ag. It truly is peak prop bet seasons, even just for the conference championship games this weekend. We've got, will Tyreek Hill backflip while or after scoring a touchdown, yes or no? Who will have more rushing yards, Leonard Fournette or Ronald Jones? Will any quarterback throw for 400 more yards? Will Josh Allen lead the Bills in rushing yards? So many different fun ways to play, even beyond the regular spread, money line, and point totals. The best prop bets, and more importantly, the best odds, are at betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account and enter our promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. I think we all felt better about the Cordarrelle Patterson at running back experiment when the Bears had a healthy Tariq Cohen to back up David Montgomery. But when he tears his ACL 3 games into the season, all of a sudden, that sprinkling experiment of Patterson is your number 2 option in the backfield. And really, your only option behind David Montgomery. We'll get to some of the other tertiary options, to use a big word that just means third, to the tertiary and quadriary. I don't know what the word for fourth is, the fancy scientific terms. We'll get to the rest of the running back depth chart, but Patterson was really kind of it for another go-to running back. I think we kind of forget that David Montgomery even missed a game with a concussion, and there had to be the Cordarrelle Patterson as your Bears starting running back game, which makes Montgomery's totals in terms of carries and yards a little bit more impressive, given that he did it in 15 instead of the full 16-game slate. But Patterson himself, I don't know that we saw the like exciting explosive plays from Patterson in the backfield that we were kind of hoping for, right? When you put a dynamic kick returner, just an overall elite athlete with a rare combination of size and speed. I mean, the guy is listed at like 6'2", 240, and is usually the fastest guy in the field. Not so much like short area quickness, explosiveness, but long speed. When he gets ahead of steam, he is tough to stop. That's why he's such a good kickoff return man, the best kickoff returner of all time, not punt returner. The little bit different skill set required there that Devin Hester certainly had. But Patterson as a running back, we didn't see those types of magical plays. He had a couple of nice runs kind of sprinkled in there throughout the season and a couple of all right performances as a backup running back. But, you know, it kind of felt like we got a lot of Patterson taking what the offense and the offensive line was giving him. So over that bad stretch of losing streak, he couldn't really get anything for you. And when the offensive line started blocking better, you know, you look at like the Lions and the Texans game were two of his more productive performances, both in total and on a per carry basis, because he finally had some more room to run from that line. So purely as a running back, I keep coming back to about a C minus grade for Cordarrelle Patterson. He wasn't bad. He was what felt like the equivalent of an average running back, very replaceable, kind of a guy you could get off the street. Like, I think you could put Artavis Pierce in a lot of those Cordarrelle Patterson carries and get at least about the same results. It was not terrible. He didn't have a big fumbling problem or anything. I don't believe he fumbled at all this season, even as running back was an adjustment for him. They stuck to their word. They stuck to the plan. Looking at the snap counts, it was 146 snaps in the backfield out of 211, a nice 69% of his snaps there at a running back type position, and it kind of worked. We'll see what exactly the future is going to hold for him, because he is going to be a free agent this offseason, and what that market looks like for a half running back, half wide receiver is going to be interesting to see. The Bears don't have a ton of depth at either position, and obviously he's so valuable as a kickoff returner, which 100% an A grade for him. Best kickoff returner in the NFL this season, best kickoff returner of all time, but that's sort of a separate special teams discussion we'll do on another podcast. But as a running back, average, replaceable, not terrible, it was fine. It was also pretty much all else they had. It was like 2.5 games of Tariq Cohen before the torn ACL. All indications are that the recovery from that has been going well. There was a video that came out, I don't remember, some point later during the season of Cohen like walking with a knee brace on, but walking on his own and not needing crutches or anything too extreme to support that knee. So seems like he's on track there. The surgery and stuff is kind of already taken care of, so he should be back next season, presumably, full health and ready to go. But we know the Bears' injury history. Let's not get too ahead of ourselves here. But I found it interesting as I was looking back through just how much these running backs played. It felt to a lot of us like we saw way too much Ryan Nall this season. But if you actually look at it, Tariq Cohen played one more snap than Ryan Nall in 2020. Cohen in 3 games, Ryan Nall in 16. So while I still think we probably saw more Nall than we wanted to, it wasn't like he played this major role in the backfield. Like, if you look at the Bears' ball carriers this season for runs, David Montgomery, leading rusher, Cordarrelle Patterson, second leading rusher. Yeah, totally makes sense. Third leading rusher, Mitch Trubisky. Maybe not a huge surprise there. You wanted to see more Mitch Trubisky scrambling. All right, we're not stunned. How about the Bears' fourth rusher in terms of most carries beyond the line of scrimmage? Nick Foles. Ew. Nick Foles had 16 carries for a total of 1 yard and one touchdown. It was Tariq Cohen after that, Artavis Pierce. Ryan Nall had 3 carries for 0 yards on the season. He was not a running back in this offense. He was much more a blocker and a receiver. That's where the majority of his snaps went to. And in terms of like the total snaps, again, Cohen one more snap than Nall, 77 to 76. And a guy like Artavis Pierce played a total of 13. Carried the ball, 6 times for 34 yards and a touchdown. Impressive. All of those guys, Pierce, Cohen, Nall, you got to give them an incomplete grade given how little we saw of them. I think Pierce was incomplete but encouraging on a very, very small sample size. He looked quick. He looked explosive. He scored a touchdown. Good for him. I mean, absolutely great to see that from an undrafted rookie free agent. Ryan Nall, incomplete but discouraging. Didn't really feel like he did much to justify his snaps. You know, he was supposed to kind of be the better blocking option in the backfield. And I understand wanting to give David Montgomery just a breather and get somebody else in there. But he wasn't really a phenomenal pass blocker. He was okay. They didn't ask him to do it a crazy amount. He got the job done, but certainly wasn't perfect back there by any means. And at times can be vulnerable like any running back. So I don't know that he added a lot of value, but still incomplete, but discouraging. And then Cohen was the same old Tariq Cohen for those first 2.5 games. Looked like he was going to be a productive member of the offense, maybe not a focal point, but just get carrying the ball pretty well, making some plays as a receiver after the catch. Excited to see more from him, perhaps, as the season went on. That was quickly taken away from him, and now you're left with a Bears running backs group still bringing back a lot of the same crew under contract. Of course, Patterson still to be determined, but it's still the Montgomery and Cohen show moving forward. And if they can stay healthy, you'll feel pretty good about that duo, at least for the short-term future. We'll see who their position coach is going to be. And when the Bears name a replacement, you can make sure we'll have an update for you right here on the Locked On Bears podcast. So make sure that you subscribe to keep up with all of our daily in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. We'll be back on Monday with more, and it's a little bit hard to tell you ahead of time what more is going to be, at least in this transitional stage of the offseason. Perhaps the Bears could name a new defensive coordinator this weekend or a new position coach here or there. So if there is news in that regard, that'll be our focus. We're also going to start putting together some off-season plans for the Bears with some outside guests joining us to offer their perspectives. And we'll keep slowly working our way through grading each of these position groups like we did today with the running backs and just a few days ago with the quarterbacks. So be on the lookout for wide receivers, tight ends, offensive line, etc. coming in the coming days and weeks, depending on how much other Bears news kind of interrupts us and takes precedent as we look back on 2020, while also looking ahead to the rest of 2021. I appreciate you sticking with us through the offseason, and if you stuck with us through 2020, I'm impressed. There were times when it was hard to stick with us, but I appreciate you for hanging along for the ride and keeping rolling on this train through the offseason. If you're a newcomer to the podcast, welcome. Thanks for listening. We're going to break down all the free agency, NFL draft, coaching changes, everything about this Bears offseason. We've got plenty of time to get through it and a long time before we get Bears football back on our televisions on Sunday. But don't worry, we'll get through it together and we'll make sure you always have a chance to bear down.